12. We're just going to pick up where we left off and finish this chapter out tonight. But in the first two verses, again, in Romans 12, it begins the practical application of what Paul was writing to the church there in Rome. He had met some Jewish folks in Rome when he finally got there, but of course he wrote this letter before he ever got there. And there was some strife among them. Some believed, some didn't. I don't know how many Jewish people were in this church, if any at all, but he's writing to these folks, and he just shared some basic information of what salvation is, how you get saved. Everybody's lost and needs a Savior. He went through that application of the fact that it's by faith and faith alone. He told them that Jesus Christ was the justifier, and that's where you had to have your faith in, was Jesus. And as he went through these passages, he reminded these folks as well, so I assume there might have been some Jewish folks there. He talked about Israel. He talked about the fact that they were blind to the things of God, but yet God still had a plan for them. And he was trying to teach the Gentiles there not to think more highly of themselves in the situation that they might look down on the Jews. God had a plan for the Jews, still does. And that's going to come to fruition. It just happens at that time he turned, because they rejected him, he turned to the Gentiles. And of course, Jesus Christ, for anybody that puts their faith and trust in him, can be saved, whether Gentile, Jew, bond, or free. And so he begins in chapter 12, and he talks about the application of how we're to live this Christian life. He talks about relationships. First relationship in verses 1 and 2, talking about our relationship with the Lord and how we're to submit ourselves. He talked about a relationship with the gifts that God has given to us, that relationship that helps us to work together as Christians, because we're a little bit different, every one of us. We're not in the same mold. When God made you, that was it. That was into that particular mold. And he's given somebody else maybe a gift similar to you, or somebody else a different gift. But we're all to work together in these gifts. And we're trying to encourage each other and realize that we have different gifts. It's easy to get upset with people when they don't see things the way we see them. Some people see things black and white. Some don't see it that way. And those are different gifts. And so as you study these, you realize, oh, this is why this person sees things this way, and this is why a person may see things this way. And you know what? We need both of those people and all of these people, that the gifts he was sharing us with us. Then in verse 9 through 16, he talked about Christians and how they relate to each other, and how we're to have the same mind. Unity is what is comes about when everybody's following the Lord. That's how unity will happen, is when we're focused on the Lord and not ourselves, and not what we think about so much about things, but what God thinks about those things. He told us to be not wise in your own conceits in verse 16. And then in verse 17 through 21, he starts talking about Christians and those that are lost, the unsaved, and how we're to treat those. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight for a little bit. And I'm just going to read beginning verse 17 down to verse 21. It says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will pay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the word tonight. We thank you for your love for us and giving Paul the desire to pin these words to this particular church, which as we study these things in your word tonight, we see they're for us as well. And Father, it's good to be reminded of these things as we continue to look and continue to walk in this lifetime. And I pray you just continue to guide each one of us. Help us to first off look to you and trust you, that everyone that we come in contact with have the opportunity to know that Jesus Christ died for them, and to see fruit from that, as well as fruit in living the Christian life. We thank you now, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So he begins, he says, recompense. And basically what that word recompense means, and he says, to no man, is to give away or back. And he says this in the context, evil for evil. In other words, someone does you wrong, and this is again talking about folks in, out in the world, not talking about Christians, with Christians, so it's Christians and the lost. He says, we're not to render back, or we're not to give back that evil that maybe they have done for us. I don't know about you, but sometimes that's one of those things that's hard to do. You want to bite your lip, or you want to hit somebody or something. You got to figure out how you handle that. And evil can be with words spoken. It's not just the action, but it's what we say too. Because what we can say can be evil. In Proverbs 20:22, it says, say not thou, I will recompense evil. It says, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Again, it's learning how to put ourselves under the authority of God and responding the way he would want us to respond. And that's a learning that takes a lifetime to learn. I mean, it's one of those things, again, that it's easy to say something when you don't, you're not happy or you're not pleased with something or someone. It's easy to say something. It's easy to get mad at somebody and raise your voice and say the wrong things. But as we study and we learn the Word of God, that's what we're trying to emulate is Christ and how he would react in these things. He says in Matthew 5:39, Jesus said, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Resist not evil. Talk about something that's difficult to do. Very hard to do. How do we resist not evil? Well, the Bible, James tells us we draw nigh unto Christ. And that's how we do it. And if we want to have success in the Christian life and be able to accomplish these things that Paul is writing to the church there, it's just us surrendering and putting ourselves under the authority of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And again, there's a reason for all of this. And again, what is the focus? What is the direction that we're given in the Bible? What is our main focus? Obviously, we could say it's to glorify God, right? That's the bottom line in all things. But how do we do that? We do it by looking at what he sees, doing what he has come to do. We know in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so that's the foundation of why we're here as Christians. When Jesus left, he told us that we would be the light. He is the light, but when he left us to be the light to accomplish those things that he came to do. And 1 Peter 3:9 says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. You know, what we do when we render evil for evil, when we speak evil of other people and those things, you know what we do? We tie God's hands. And when we tie his hands, then we're not going to receive the blessings he wants for us or wants to give us. Because when we commit sin, and that's what this is, when we do these things, then we tell God, not verbally say, oh, I don't want your blessing, but that's what happens in essence, is when we study the Word of God and we find these things out and understand what they mean and how we're to apply them in our lives. When we don't, then we're in that position that we lose the opportunity that God might want to bless us and bless those that we're around. And again, it's not easy to do this. The whole point is we don't dish out evil when others give it to us. Very difficult, isn't it? We're not to, or we're to do right even though others may not respond the same way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, 11, Jesus in the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, as long as we're doing right and the persecutions come, then we accept those. And we trust that God knows best. There's a purpose for it. We don't understand because, I don't know about you, but I'm short-sighted. I live in the now. The future is off, way off. I don't know what's going to happen. So today is the day I live in. And so often when I do things, I do it because I'm in the moment instead of, what's the purpose behind this? What's God have for this? And what's he going to do maybe tomorrow, the next day, or the next week, or 10 years down the road? We don't know. In verse 11, it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. In other words, it's because of Christ they're doing these things. And so he's teaching us here, and he mentioned these things above as well. In verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. And then the next statement, he says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. And that word provide means to consider in advance. Okay, think about these things. Kind of have a plan maybe. And make up your mind, no matter what happens, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to do that which is good. And it takes practice. But we have to have the mind renewed, just like in the first couple verses he talks about, to be ready to do that. Because if we just act on the spur of the thing, the moment or whatever, chances are we're going to fail in these things. But when we practice these things, we are praying about these things, we're asking God to give us the grace in these things, then we will be in a position that we will be able to do these things. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, after the fact, they're going to come back, and as they stand before the Lord, they're going to say, oh, that's why this person did this or that person did. They're going to glorify God through this situation. And the thing is, we want to make sure that our conversation, our life, is honest among men. We're telling the truth. We are who we are. We're not hypocrites. We're living the life that God's called us to live. We're Christians to the core. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, the Spirit of God indwelled us, and he started changing our lives, and we kept looking and growing, and this happens throughout our lifetime. But as we continue to look to the Word of God, he continues to move in our hearts and minds and changes our attitudes, our actions, and makes us what he wants us to be. It's the will of God. He says in verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. This is a condition. If is always a condition. If it be possible, powerful or capable. If you can do this, okay, as much as lieth in you. In other words, on your part of this. We should not be the ones who break the peace. We should not be the ones who are reviling. We should not be the ones who are doing that which is evil. We ought to be, on the other hand, those who are peacemakers. Blessed is the peacemaker. And that's what he's saying here, is as much as lieth in you, possibly. Well, you know, how much lies in us? I think it all determines the degree of, as we're learning to live our lives for Christ. Before I was saved, and even after I was saved, there were times when I'd get upset. Hey, I still get upset sometimes, but I'm trying to learn not to. And so it's a growth thing. And the more you trust the Lord in these situations, the more you can squelch this situation in your life through the power of God in your life, it helps you. And it's like I say, it's growing to be able to do this as much, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. I think just like faith, as you continue to trust the Lord, he gives you more faith. Same thing, as much as lieth in you. The more you work at it, the more it's going to lie in you. And then to the point where, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, as being that lamb led to the slaughter. That's the idea he shared there. So how can we live peaceably with all men? Well, turn to 1 Timothy, if you would. And this is part of this. When he was writing to Timothy, he gave him some help here to how to do this. And the purpose behind this living peaceably, again, has the end goal of winning people to the Lord. It's seeing people saved. That's the whole end goal of this. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is writing to Timothy. Of course, Timothy's a pastor there at church at Ephesus. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And again, the idea is that if we want to live peaceably with all men, we want to be praying for those folks. We want to have them in our hearts and minds. And as you know, sometimes you sit down and you don't pray for certain people, but do you ever, let me ask you, you don't have to raise a hand or anything, but this is something that I'll do occasionally, or try to do a lot of times. If I see somebody, if I go to Fodder's and I see somebody, the checkout person, I might just say a little prayer for that person. Lord, would you please give opportunity for this person to be saved, or something like that. The idea is you always have a mind of prayer. You're praying for people when you see them. You may not even know their name, but you pray for them. One of the things that someone mentioned to me one time about someone driving down the road, maybe it's a snowy day or something, and they fly by you and pass you. And maybe the first thought is I hope they get in the bank. You ever thought that way? Or if it's even dry conditions and they fly by you, hope to see the blue lights today or something like that. And I've thought that way many times. But more importantly, I think now when they do that, I just say, Lord, protect them and give them safety. I don't know why. I have no idea why they're going that fast, first of all. There may be an emergency situation, you know? Seriously. Now, I don't know if that's all cases. Doubt it. But you never know, right? If I see you flying by me at 90 miles an hour, you got somebody there bleeding to death, hey, look, I should be praying for you instead of saying, I hope they get in the bank. You know what I'm saying? The kind of idea we don't know. So we want to pray for all men. The whole idea is we want to pray. We want to pray with supplications. That's that penitent appeal to God for mercy. Pray for mercy for folks. Making requests for specific needs. Right now, we need to be praying for our country. We need to be praying for President Biden. We need to be praying for Kamala Harris. We need to be praying for these people, that God will do a work in their lives and turn them about. I was lost once, and I was leading a life that wasn't godly and didn't care about God. God can change anybody's life. And that's the idea is here. We want God to do a work in people's lives. We got to pray for them. Make those requests. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm not going to share that with you. You know it already. But that's the whole point, is that we want to be there, have that power of prayer in our lives. When you think about it, he says, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplication and prayers. That's an idea of a worshiper through direct communication of God. We're talking to God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're talking to him and asking him to do these things and to meet the needs. He knows all about this. But yet he commands us and tells us to do these things. So he kind of wants us to demonstrate our obedience to him, our commitment, the fact that he has told us to do this, that we're willing to do it because we can trust him in it. He tells us to intercede, praying for others in situations. Jesus did that. He did that for us. He's interceding for us right now. He interceded for Peter before. told him that, called him Satan, actually. And he said, I'll pray for you. We're to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here it says, and giving thanks and giving of thanks be made for all men. Thanking God for those that come in our way. And maybe they don't treat us right. Maybe they don't respect us even. But giving thanks and giving us the opportunity to maybe make a difference in their lives. If there's some way we can do that. And of course, he talks about those in authority. That's why, again, think of our president, our vice president, the people, the leaders in the House, the Senate. I think it can make a difference, a big difference. If Christians in this nation were earnest in praying for these people, I think it could change their lives. I really believe that. Why do I believe that? Because the Bible says it can do that. In verse 2, he says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Who are those in authority? Well, your boss at work. Be praying for them. Everybody has a boss. Somewhere, somehow. Be praying for them. And the purpose is that we might lead that peaceable life, that quiet and peaceable life. And again, it's for all men. And the purpose of it is, why do we do that? Look at verse 3. It says, for it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's the will of God. That's why we do it. It's the will of God. And the next verse tells us why that is. It says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's one of those for whosoever. I love those verses. You know, some people like think, well, God only chose a few. That's not true. It's for whosoever will. How do people get saved? Someone prays for them. Someone intercedes. And, you know, it's amazing how God can work and take a little seed, a word you say, and he can take that and he can grow that. Someone else come along and just say something else and put a little water on that seed. That seed soaks it in. Someone comes along as the light of the Lord and shares something, and all of a sudden there's the light there. And, of course, with the light, the water and the soil and the seed, something sprouts up. And all of a sudden, a life begins to change, begins to think on maybe the things of God. And, of course, one thing leads to another, and Lord willing, there'll be a reaping. It's exciting to see that happen. It's exciting to see the progress that people make, and that happens. Everybody in this room, that's how it happened in some way, shape, or form. Someone planted a seed. Somebody came along and watered. Somebody came along and gave the light or shared the word of God and maybe was praying for you, I'm sure. And through that, you accepted Christ as your Savior. I didn't get saved on my own fruition or by me desiring it. I got saved because people were praying for me and because the Lord didn't give up on me. And I'm grateful for that. So it's through the power of prayer. Matthew 21:22 says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Jesus is telling us that. My problem is I'll pray and I don't believe. It's a flippant, there it is, throw it out there kind of thing. It's not a serious, God, I know you can do this. Your timing's perfect, and I'm just praying, and I'm not quit praying until this comes true, or true, if that be your will. We're seeking your will, and we know it's God's will that all men will be saved. We know that. Turn to Philippians real quick. Philippians chapter 4, talking about the peace. And this is what we want in our lives, just like here, is that if we can live however it lies in us to live peaceably with everybody as much as is possible. Well, here gives us some more ideas here as Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. In verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto" who? Who is that? All men. That's right, everybody. And it says, "The Lord is at hand." That means he's there. He's ready to do, he's ready to pour out the blessings upon you and somebody else, the people that you influence. He's ready to do that. He says, "Be careful for nothing," that is to be anxious. Don't get all worried about things or concerned about them. There's a lot of times right now, today I was thinking about some of the things. I watched a little bit of the inauguration and I'm thinking, oh boy, what do we got to look forward to now? And I'm just reminded, hey, God is on the throne. I don't have to be anxious for this. I don't have to do that. But will I? Well, that's between me and the Lord. See, that's where the battle is. You know, the flesh says, yeah, and the Lord says, no. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then I love this verse. Many of you, this is some of your favorite verses. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's where we want. Our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Looking at things the way he looks at them. But then look at verse 8. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." It's hard to find truth these days. If you look out and you hear, if you pay any attention to any newscast, there's always a little bit of truth mixed in with a lot of lies. But we want to think on those things that are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Look at verse 9. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." That's where that peace comes from, the God of peace. And he can do that for us. And he wants to do that for us. He wants to guide us and direct us in that. Go ahead and turn back to Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 12. Verse 19. Again, he's writing to Christians. And he's talking about how we're to react to those who aren't Christians. He said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And so, dearly beloved, that's brothers and sisters in Christ, those who know Christ as a personal Savior. He's saying, avenge or vindicate or retaliate or punish not yourselves. In other words, don't put yourself in a position that you're trying to get revenge on somebody. Don't get angry. It's easy to do. And that's what happens often is we get angry about things instead of just trusting God through those things. In other words, we're not to take things in our own hands and seek revenge. And that can be just by words we say. Well, how many times did I have done that? Many times. But we're ready and prepared to allow the attack upon us and attack not. In other words, you get punched in the nose, you don't punch them back. Someone says something that's not nice to you, you don't repeat it or say it back to them. Or you try to find something that you can put them down with. That's the way the world does it. And that's the way many of us, myself, especially when I grew up, that's what we did. You always want to try to cut somebody down or whatever. And he's saying, that's not our position. That's not our place. And he tells us here, he says, but rather give place unto wrath. Allow it to happen in your life. Allow these people to do these things to you. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It's the Lord who's going to repay in this situation. And Proverbs 24, 17 through 19 says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. This proverb's teaching us, if we're sitting there and we're glad that something happens to somebody, we've just taken the Lord's hand away from that. He's not going to do the things he should be doing maybe to that person. Because it's God who's the one who's going to do the vengeance. It's not us. And we don't want to tie the Lord's hand in that situation either, because we want the Lord to work in people's lives. Proverbs 24, 29 says, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. He's saying, that's not, again, our position, our place. Is the fact is, God will take care of this situation. He says, vengeance, that is, retribution, is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. We trust God and leave it in his hands to do the bidding of what God wants to do. And you and I sometimes, I know I personally think, wow, how can that person get away with this? God knows all about that. I mean, I don't have to tell him about it even. He knows, and he can take care of this situation. It's my job to pray for that person in that situation. God, please do a work in this person's life. Please help him to see who you are and know you. And so we allow God to deal with situations as he sees fit and not do it ourselves. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 30 to 31, Paul penned these words. He says, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge, his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I can never get retribution or do the things that God can do. If you understand what I'm saying? My words, even though someone has said something to me or cut me down and I try to get back at them, God can do a greater or put more pressure on that person than I ever can. And that's what he's saying here. God, we need to let God handle these situations. Let God take care of this. It's God that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And that's the whole point, is let God do his bidding in our lives and other people's lives as well. Again, our position is that we pray, we try to live peacefully with these folks, even though we feel threatened or feel like they're against us. And he tells us in verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. That goes against my nature. Does that go against your nature? There are other places that we could put that money and that food, isn't there? Like my belly, which is growing, or whatever. There's other people we could give it to. But here he says, if your enemy is hungry, to feed him. If he's thirsty, to give him drink. And then he explains or says, for in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And again, that idea is, again, this comes from Proverbs. The idea is that when we do this, it's going to cause this person to think. And it's going to change his mind about the situation. Maybe he won't be your enemy anymore. Maybe he'll see, wow, this person who I dislike and I've been giving them a hard time and saying these things and doing these things to this person, they never retaliate. But they give me things. They help me. They're kind to me. And through that, their hearts can be changed too. Why? Because the Word of God says so. It's the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Proverbs 25, 21 through 22, it says, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. We get a reward for doing that, for being a blessing to our enemies. We get rewarded. And again, it can change somebody's heart, and it can lead to a change that is good. And I'm sure many of you have seen that and experienced that before. Matthew 5, 44, Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Again, these things aren't our nature. These things aren't easy. These things require that we submit to God and help him and ask him to help us to do this, because our nature is just the opposite of that. And so we want people to see the Lord. And so they need to see that we're different than the world, that we behave differently, we act differently. It's not because of my will, because it's because the will of God in me that I want to serve him and follow him. And so without that, how can we expect anybody to really be influenced or to see that God is real? Because the only way people can see God is real is in God's people. We are the ones who emulate it and show it and demonstrate it. He says in verse 21, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, the whole context of this passage has to do with all of this, is saying the same thing. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Boy, how many times have I experienced the fact that I was not slow to anger? Boy, words come out of your mouth before you even think, and then it's too late. They're caught. You can't get them back. The damage is done. And it's hard. So that, again, that requires practice. Practicing the Christian life, asking God to give you the strength and be able to say the things you should say. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 30, it says, but I say unto you which hear, Jesus speaking again, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Boy, just does not go are ingrained in my nature. And again, Paul pins these words in Ephesians. We're going to close early tonight, it looks like. But in Ephesians chapter 4, as he went through, go ahead and turn over there for a second. He gives a lot of things in Ephesians chapter 4. Of course, he talks about the unity of the faith, and he talks about the walk of the Christian life as we come together in this unity of the faith. And he teaches us, there's a whole lot of things here he teaches us that we're to do and to put off. In fact, he said, right here, it says verse 21, he says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And that's my battle right there. That's my biggest battle, is that old man. He keeps wanting to raise up and rear his ugly head, and he does. Verse 23, Paul, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, transforming your mind, Romans chapter 12. And verse 24 says that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what we're seeking. We're seeking to live righteously. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, you are positionally righteous. But we want to learn to live righteously. That's what Romans 8:28 is talking about, or 29, that we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. But he says, and we want to learn what true holiness is. And then he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. You know, we ought to be angry at sin. We ought to hate sin. But that shouldn't drive us to commit sin. And that's a big deal there. It's hard not to do that. It's hard to find ourselves committing the very sin that we hate because of the anger we have toward it. He says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That's easy to do. The devil, who is our adversary, he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He never gives up. And he's always there at the right time, not for us, but for him. And he grabs a hold of us, and next thing you know, we've just given him place in our life. When an opportunity presents itself, maybe the best opportunity you have to be a witness in a group of people that you're in, maybe at work or something like that, and something happens, and the devil, we give place to him by losing our temper or whatever, all of a sudden everybody's looking around, they're seeing, oh, this is what you, and you tell them, try, oh, you need to be saved. And it's like, I can see you. And it's easy to do. And verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Again, what's the purpose of our jobs? God gives us a job to provide for our needs, but I don't know about you, but he gives us abundance to provide for others as well. That's what the Christian life is about, is to help others, to provide for those, that are in your church family, or obviously your family's first, but then you provide for others as well, and missionaries and whatever. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Boy, it doesn't take much to say negative. I'm a kingmaker there. And then we want to learn how to be graceful with our speech. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, that's terrible. You know, that's the first step. The second step is, once we grieve him, we can turn around and quench him. We don't want to do that. Quenching is extinguishing. It's putting him so far down, depressing the spirit in our lives, that we might not even know we're born again. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, this is, again, one of the difficulties of this life that we have, is being able to forgive others. I don't know about you, but I've met lots of Christians. I'm sure I was in the same condition, have been many times. I tried to learn to not do that anymore, but I'm sure there's still going to be times in the future that'll happen that you hang on to things and you're bitter over it. You're bitter over what somebody said or what somebody did. You think you ought to be treated differently or better than you were. And it's easy to get bitter through those things and hang on to them. And what does that do? It defileth not just you, but many, it says in the book of Hebrews. Many be there that are defiled. And so it's important that we stay close to the Lord. Don't let this happen to us. Don't let us get to the point where we're not willing to forgive. Christ forgave all our sin. How many times are we to forgive each other? 7 times? Oh, 490. Is that right? That was an illustration to demonstrate what? Every time. All the time. Be in the mode of forgiveness. That's what tenderheartedness is speaking of. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed a few minutes early tonight. Father, we thank you again for your word, and we pray you continue to bless each one here. I thank you for these folks, and we know that there are needs here, physical needs, especially right now, and I just pray you'd meet each one of those. Father, the men that are seeing the doctors right now, I pray you give those doctors wisdom. I pray that you just open the door for healing, and Father, that you'd have your perfect will in these situations, and you bless them mightily. Father, we do thank you for this country we live in tonight, and we just pray you continue to go before those leaders, Father. Help us to be mindful that you're on the throne, no matter what happens, no matter the situation, that we can trust you, and we can look to you for all things. Father, just guide and direct in each one of our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.